listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live: to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is right now 11:01. And we have our whole team here coming together, and so glad to have you listening to the Good News Station. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And, of course, we are at 89.9. Well, we don't have any mail today. What happened?
I don't know. It didn't come in or anything that we could talk about.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, we sometimes, well, we do have, what is this? Okay, we do have one prayer request. And so we can bring that and maybe lift that up. And then we're going to look to make a phone call and get a hold of Amy this morning and just see about this event that's coming up on March the 23rd. So, Karen, share with us the, I believe that's a prayer request.
Yes, we have a prayer request here from Joseph. And we've been praying for Joseph for a couple of years now. His wife had been back and forth in rehab. She had been in the hospital for a bit. she has not been home since August. Still going back and forth to the hospital. And he asked for prayer for himself, for all that he is going through for 2 years now.
It's exhausting.
Yes, that prayer for Mary. I think she was doing dialysis.
I think so, yes.
And so, Father God, we lift up Joseph to you, Lord. Father, we ask, God, that you would strengthen him, Lord, that you know, things happen in life, God, and sometimes we just want to get out of having to deal with stuff, but Lord, you promised to give us strength through those trials, Lord. And Father, we just speak your strength to Joseph now in the name of Jesus. Father, give him the grace to endure. Give him the faith to just keep hanging on and trusting you, Lord. And Father, we lift up Mary to you, God. And Father, that you would touch her and heal her and restore her to wholeness.
Yes.
Father God, that your perfect will be done in their lives. We bless you and we thank you. Thank you for all your promises. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Well, let's see if we can get Amy Thompson on air. We want to talk about a great event that's coming up. Let's see. Amy, are you there?
Yes, Jonathan.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to WCNO. And this is Amy Thompson. And Amy, we're talking about Hope Fest Florida. Tell us about it.
Wow, I'm so excited, Jonathan, about Hope Fest Florida. We are so excited to present the gospel of Jesus at Boca Raton High School football field on March 23rd, starting at 4 p.m., we've got some amazing recording artists, some Christian recording artists. We have Anna Paola Valadao from Before the Throne Church and her worship team coming. We have a CIP Florida church worship team coming. We have Pastor Kevin Vandermeiden, who operates in the anointing of the Lord. Incredible miracle signs and wonders, all to bring the people, the children of God, to Christ Jesus. So this is really an evangelistic event, Jonathan, to really people exalt Jesus. He said when we exalt him, he will do the drawing. So we're exalting the King Jesus, and people are going to be coming to this event to be to come to Christ Jesus, to rededicate their lives to Christ Jesus, and to be healed and set free. We're going to have 12 baptism pools right there on the spot. Each new believer is going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit right there on the spot. Each new believer is going to have a program written by Global Awakening. Just a glorious ministry, Global Awakening. They've written a discipleship program, and it's totally free for each new believer and rededicated believer. So each one is going to be able to leave the field getting started in an excellent biblical foundational teaching of discipleship. But before they leave the field, Jonathan, we're going to make sure that each new believer and each rededicated believer is going to be connected to a family of the body of Christ, whether it's a church or a ministry or a pastoral leader.
Awesome.
We want each and every single person to be in a family of believers. Really, that's where we grow and develop. So it's about really connecting and unifying us as the body of Christ, but predominantly about bringing the souls into the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name.
It's harvest time, isn't it?
It's time, Jonathan. It's time. And it's family of God, can we pray for the laborers? Can we pray for the laborers of the harvest?
Amen.
Because the fields are white with harvest right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, Amy, I am thrilled to know of this event, be able to promote it to our family, our listeners, and the fact that you are calling pastors and church groups to come in, set up a table, be a part of the prayer team, be a part of the harvest. And this is not about you doing your thing. It's about calling the body of Christ to do kingdom work and to build the kingdom together. And, you know, I just believe in my heart that God wants to, again, show the disciples where to fish, so that when the nets are filled, we will not be able to contain them in our individual boats, but we will be calling to the other fishermen, come along with us and help us bring in the harvest. I believe for too long, we've been concerned about filling all of the seats in our own boat. And God, I believe, is calling us to have bigger vision, to understand the harvest is huge, and that we can work together. This is awesome. This is awesome. Okay.
It's so good, Jonathan. Thank you so much. You know, and when we fish with hooks, Jonathan, we catch hungry fish. But when you and I and pastors and leaders from around our community can tie our nets together, we catch fish that don't even know they're hungry yet.
Amen. 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 And you know, the word makes it real clear that the world will know that God loves them just like he loved his son Yeshua, by the love that we have one for another, and when we work together for the glory of God. And this is a great opportunity to do that. Now tell me, I can already tell just from what you've shared that there is a growing response. You have people connecting, people that are wanting to be a part. What do you still need?
Well, obviously, you know, all of this takes a lot of money. So financial contribution is absolutely encouraged and welcomed. So that can be done straight through our website at hopefestflorida.com. There's a tab there to partner. There's a tab that's where you can you know, partner with us, bring a table, bring your church ministry. And then there's a donation tab there where funds can be donated. We've got almost all of the baptismal pools covered. Right now, we're looking for coverage for funding for our recording artists to travel them down and of course to pay them for their time, because we're in the kingdom of God, and He owns the wealth on a, you know, on Thousand Hills. So we want to pay and honor the artists that are coming and the speakers that are coming, because God is a kingdom of wealth, and He wants us to have wealth and influence, and that's a whole other topic, I know. But we are in need of funding for travel expenses, for sure. So that is something that we welcome and bless. The other thing, Jonathan, is gift cards. We would like to donate some gift cards. We're really going to be canvassing the area around the event, and it's an at-need area, if not at-risk. And we'd like to be able to give away gift cards in the in the amounts of $100 to up to $1,000, and we really want to bless people into the kingdom of God.
All right, so these would be given, obviously, with some vetting to make sure that they're going to an important cause. But this is a great event, and Jesus was very much into feeding the people that came to receive spiritually. He also fed them in the natural. So that's a good thing. Now, what about the sound system? Do you have the sound system covered?
We do not have the sound system covered yet, but we are putting in the details and placing that order in faith that we can have a great coverage for the worship bands. And so that we can actually
Very
hear
important.
What's being spoken. So that's $3,000.
Okay. Well, very good. So people can go to the website. They can make a donation there. And the donations are going to go to help cover the cost of bringing guests together, covering sound system. There's a lot of other things that you make mention of that would be great for kids, like boogie boards, fishing rods, and surfboards, gift cards. All these kinds of things can go together to be a part of a blessing to this community looking to reach out with the love of God. And I love this line: bring the lost, the sick, the hurting, and the dying. Jesus is going to be there, and that's exactly what the church is to do. Why don't you give those that contact information again, so people listening today would be able to go to your webpage, find out more, and find how they can be a part.
Absolutely. The webpage is www.hopefestflorida.com. And if you would like more information about the event, you can email us at info@hopefestflorida.com.
All right, why don't you lead us in about a minute prayer, just lifting up the lost of that region. And again, give the address where the event's going to be, so everybody that's in that area can know what's happening. But more than that, that all of us listening today and participating can just come into prayerful agreement with you.
Yes, yes. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a privilege and honor it is, Lord, to be chosen as children of God. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that every listener in the sound of my voice is aware of your presence in them, on them, and around them right Amen. Now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, would you just surround each one with your love, your protection, your safety. God, your holy presence, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this moment, and we just give each listener just a special extra blessing from the Lord, the Father God, Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, we lift up this event. Jesus, you said, if we exalt you and you be lifted on high, that you would do the drawing. So that is our intention, Lord Jesus, for this event. And so, Holy Spirit, would you just go before us and do the heavy lifting of drawing and of bringing people, of convicting Amen. Hearts for the Amen. Salvation and rededication of lives back to the Jesus. So the Father is glorified in the Son, Lord Jesus. We give you honor, praise, and glory, Jesus, for every traveler, every speaker, every worshiper coming to this event. Lord, you Amen. Cover them with protection and safety. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind every demonic entity that's trying to create resistance or buffeting against people attending the event, against anybody committing their souls to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, amen. I bless Jonathan and WCNO, Father God, and every listener out there with just a double portion of your presence today, Father. Lord Jesus, as they are quickened in their spirit to join along with us, to labor alongside of us,
and
invite people to attend, Lord Jesus, because you're going to be there and you're going to be exalted. So, Jesus, we just honor you and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amy, we're going to keep calling and staying in touch as this event comes together, and we're just partnering with you in faith that that God's going to bring many people into the kingdom. And I know you're praying for a large ingathering, 3,000 soul harvest from this event. Yeah. So, Father, may it be like on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people in one day, in one community, in one region, in one city, bow their knee and surrender their lives to Christ. What a great thing. All right, Amy, keep up the good work and keep us posted on how things are going.
Bless you, Jonathan. We
bless you as well.
Thank you so much. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Karen, let's talk one snippet about Hidden Places. Tell us about your program. When is it? What's going on with Hidden Places?
All right. Hidden Places is aired every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And I'm the host of that. And I have three co-hosts, Cynthia West, Nanette Maldonado, and Deanne Diaz. And either all four of us are there, or you know, any number of us.
And there's one more mic, so God may provide somebody else.
Yes, and, you know, we had Pam. Pam came up. She lives down in Plantation, so.
I caught some of that last week.
Yeah,
that was
so
good.
We're hoping that she'll come up, you know, whenever she can, and, you know, maybe sometimes we can include her in by phone. But, yes, we intend in the future to have the fifth seat filled, maybe with somebody different each week, and felt like the Lord was kind of gearing me up to pray for revival.
Amen.
And so I kind of have that on my heart for this week, because you know, we're intercessors and we we have a heart to pray. The Lord gives us burdens to pray about different things, and all of us are concerned with the body of Christ. You know, of course, we're concerned with the harvest, but the Lord wants to spread the body and revive the body and unite the body so that we can be more effective going out.
Excellent.
To gather in that harvest.
Wasn't that great what Amy was talking about, that there are discipleship materials that are going to be available for every person, and every person who comes to Christ will be given an opportunity to be connected with a family. Many times we think about big events being connected with a church. Well, that's a building to many people.
It's a
building.
That's right.
But
yeah,
if you're connected with a family, that is powerful. I believe we've missed some of that in the past by just going maybe through the aspect of churches looking to bring people into a program rather than bringing them into a relationship first with Christ and then a relationship with actual believers that can disciple them. Yeah. And frankly, I believe there's a lot of people that are in our community that may not be ready to step into our church yet. But if they've come into the kingdom of God, it's tremendous that we can go to them. And I believe we're going to have more and more of that, where our homes are open and we are going to people in our neighborhoods to reach them for Christ. And that's awesome.
And I think, you know, many churches are not prepared to have an influx of people coming in. You know, maybe they're not focused on the Great Commission, as, you know, we all should be. But you know, you would need to have programs and discipleship classes
Get
and
ready.
All that in place.
Get ready for the harvest, right?
Bring
well,
them in.
I'm putting a call out to two of our...
Hello.
Hey, this is Jonathan calling. You're on air, WCNO, live right now. Who am I talking to?
Jonathan, how's it going? This is Bryson.
Bryson, God bless you. Welcome.
Oh man, how are you guys over there today?
Hey, we're doing good. We're just talking about all the great things that God is doing up and down the coast of Florida. You know, God is on the move in the state of Florida, and it's awesome. Yeah. And
man, spreading the light of Jesus.
That's it. People need the Lord, and people, I believe, are being touched by God. Bryson, you all just had a great event, a really great event this last weekend, that was called
Good Days Only Music Festival.
Good Days Only Music Festival. And that took place down in the Meyer Amphitheater in West Palm Beach, right there on the water. What a beautiful place that is. Tell us what happened. What happened? What did God do there?
Wow. Yes, of course. Yeah, man. The presence of God was so strong on the property that whole day. And it was just a beautiful day, man. No rain. The weather was awesome. It was literally just the perfect day to lift up the name of Jesus. And we saw so many people coming to the Lord that night, hundreds of people. And, man, if anybody could walk away saying anything about this event, the number one thing they would say is that the name of Jesus was lifted high. And, you know, out of all the fun, out of all the artists, the people that were there, every person just lifted up the name of Jesus throughout the whole entire day. And people were leaving going, man, like, you know, it was so much fun seeing Danny Gokey and seeing Unspoken and all these guys, but, like, they were just like, I couldn't believe the ministry that was coming out of this out there in the city, in the open, next to all the condos, you know, just lifting up the name of Jesus. So it was such a special day.
That is a tremendous area because, like you said, there's all the condos, there are all the restaurants and other businesses that are in that area, and it's kind of like in the heart of the region. I mean, it's I know talking with Randy Skinner about how the nation is really sort of being pulled. There's some kind of a dynamic move of God that's happening here in Florida, and we're seeing that in Palm Beach County. We're seeing that here in Martin County as well, where there just are key leaders that are making this state their home. And so I know that God has put us here for this time to call the lost to come to Jesus. So I'm just thrilled at what God's put on your heart. Tell us a little bit about the vision. Why now? How do you talk to people to get them to have vision to understand that the harvest is ready?
Of course, Well, 6 years ago when we came to West Palm, we had a vision to reach this young generation. And, Lord, how can we do this? Started praying about it. And, you know, a few years back whenever I had that encounter with Jesus, he kept saying revival. And he kept giving me different visions of revival, you know, revival from back in the days, revival from now. It was just, you know, all kinds of different pictures kept coming to my head, and I knew this was one of the ways that we could bring this younger generation in to really get them to love the Lord and get a fire on their life and, you know, keep running with that. So we started putting the idea and the vision together, and we said, okay, can we bring all these people together to lift the name of Jesus, to spread the light, and, you know, just bring the lost here to a property outside where most lost and broken people will go for other events and other things, but they can come here to know Jesus. They can come here to lift the name of Jesus. So we started putting ideas and vision together, and we said, okay, now's the time. You know, 6 years later, now's the time. Everything was right. You know, God put all the pieces together, and it was just a great, great day. And now we're planning for this next year. So we're so excited. It's been definitely a God thing. So
that is awesome. That is awesome. Now, we have listeners who don't know anything about your vision and how God showed up. Again, when you shared that with us last week, I know that there were some people listening that might even question whether God still does stuff like that. I mean, we read in the Word of God about God talking, to Noah, giving him dimensions for the ark, God talking to Moses, giving him direction to know how to put the tabernacle together, the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter and dealing with some of the prejudice and some of the traditional strongholds that were in his life. But as you were sharing, I relate to that. Tell us a little bit about how God got real and personal with you and how that's impacted you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, whenever about seven years ago, I had an encounter with Jesus in my bedroom, of course, in Ontario, and it was me and about 2 or 3 other friends. And it was funny because whenever we first, at that time, we started making, okay, hey, we got to start making this a lifestyle, an everyday thing, not just on a Sunday, not just on a service, you know, actually making this an everyday thing. So we started saying, hey, let's come together every night. No matter where we are, let's all meet up together, 5, 10, 15 minutes. Let's get in the car, you know, whatever it may be, and let's just worship and pray together.
Every night?
So we would do it every single night for about 5-6 months.
Wow.
And we really made it a, you know, a huge thing because we were young, but we also wanted to, you know, start doing something new within the church, and the young people there really created a, you know, a lifestyle of prayer and worship and community, not just on a Sunday or a, you know, a youth group, a young adult night, a conference, you know how it is.
Sort of like the early church. That's what the early church did. Yeah.
Exactly. So we started doing that, and yeah, there was this one night where we were all out playing basketball and whatnot, and I just felt the tug of the Spirit say, go, 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 go. But, you know, we were young. We just didn't, you know, it wasn't, even though we made this every single day, it still was like, man, we're hanging out, you know, I don't want to go up there and do this or that type of thing, you know? And God just, he kept tugging on my heart so strong. And finally I said, God, let's just go upstairs and worship for a few minutes. Let's go pray together. And because I felt it so strong, but I wasn't expecting anything. And which is funny, because, you know, to go with God, anything can happen at any moment, any time.
Amen. Matter, you know?
And so we all went upstairs, and what turned into, you know, 5 minutes turned into 2-3 hours of worship together. And that night, you know, we encountered Jesus face to face. And whenever I walked out of the room and came back into the room, I walked a few feet past the door, and I just dropped to my knees and started, you know, weeping because the presence of the Lord was so strong. I've never felt it like that. And I remember just being like, wow, this is true. This is real. And I stood back up, walked to the other side of my room. When I sat down on the ground, I just had my eyes shut. I was just praying. I could hear my the pastor's son across the room also praying out loud. He was just saying, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus. And whenever I opened my eyes up, about, you know, they're probably shut 20-30 minutes, I opened my eyes back up, and then I saw this light to the left of me, which was Jesus sitting on the bed, and he was just shaking his head, yes, yes, looking back and forth at all of us, you know. And he stood up, walked over to my friend Parker on the ground, and just wrapped his arms around him. And whatever I just saw the true love of Jesus.
Wow.
And then he stood up, and then he walked over to me with his hand out, and as he was walking to me, I mean, not even joking, my chest just caved in. And he said, what was broken is now fixed. And then his next words out of everything was just, will you dance with me? And this whole night I just kept seeing the true love of Jesus in any season, any circumstance, any trial, battle, whatever it may be, just the love of Jesus. I mean, he's always there. He's always caring. He's always loving. And next thing I knew, I was standing up in my bedroom dancing with Jesus. And he kept just saying revival and revival and revival in this younger generation. I kept just hearing it so, so much. And that song in the background was Set a Fire was playing. You know, set a fire down in my soul. Man, I just, you know, that was my prayer, is that, hey, as we keep pushing through this, you know, these seasons, I just pray that, you know, the fire of Jesus on this younger generation just begins to burn so bright and the gospel spread across. So because of that, we ended up doing this festival, and now we're planning other worship nights and events just to lift the name of Jesus and get this fire burning in people. So.
Amen. That is awesome. That is awesome. Now there's another event that's coming up. What's the next event?
There's a few different things. We've talked about doing a few more festivals, and we have a few worship nights and even some Christian fairs here in Florida. So we'll see what we can do together to, you know, bring people together. So
now, you know, you're talking about just having a call of God in your own heart, calling you to move close and to press deeper and for the fire to burn in your life. Night when you dropped the basketball or whatever and you headed up to your room to worship, was this orchestrated by you know, I hate to use the word grown-ups, but, you know, in the church we have, you know, we have a pastor for so many different jobs. Or was this kind of organic, just a call of God on your hearts as young people, and you just together said, let's go?
It was all organic. It was just us wanting to do it. It wasn't any pastors or ministers or anything. It was just a true love for Jesus that we wanted to go spend time with him. And which is very rare, you know, these days.
Yeah, it wasn't planned. It wasn't a program. It wasn't something on the calendar. This was God calling.
No, it was just we weren't actually planning on doing it at all that night. And I kept, honestly, you know, just being honest, was pushing it away because we were playing basketball and doing other stuff. And it was the, you know, the physical, the, you know, we were all together. You know, at the time, I guess I could say not a desire, but it just wasn't, you know, we didn't want to put time to it at the moment. And now I look back on it, and man, you know, sometimes we'll push God away in certain moments, or maybe we'll, you know, in certain times we know we should spend time with Jesus and we should pray over certain things and whatnot. We don't do it because maybe there's other stuff in the way. And those moments, whenever we put everything else away aside and we just, you know, run to Him, man, just be ready.
So, Bryson, what would you say to parents and grandparents that are listening today, you know, that are praying for their kids? And I think some look at the younger generation as if, you know, a very small percentage. You look at numbers and it's like 4% or less of those raised in church are actually functioning in the church. What would you say to them? Should they have hope, or what's God saying? I mean, God's stirring your heart. God's calling you to get outside and call young people to come to the Lord. So what would you say?
Definitely. I mean, I think the biggest thing is finding, you know, solid youth groups and, you know, people on fire for the Lord to get their kids plugged into. But even more than find, you know, find good kids, find good groups of kids, wherever that may be. You know, I've always been connected in the church world my whole entire life. I mean, I'm still in full-time ministry. But I've noticed that some of my closest friends and people around me were never always at the same ministry. Maybe we'd be at 10 to 15 different ministries, but we'd come together to worship, and maybe that's something, you know, you could find for your kids, and you can say there's a group of these young guys over here, these young girls over here, that could come together and be friends and be a community, and, you know, their life would change from that. But it's also about, you know, being around the right people, being around the right community, the right churches, and, but there is still hope, man. This younger generation loves the Lord. I think our biggest thing right now is just reigniting the fire, in the young generation to love the Lord and go after Him and not everything else, you know. So just get your kids plugged into ministries and young groups and just see what the Lord will do.
You know, I can remember as a 15-year-old God calling me, and I was looking for real, and God is real. God is real. And it's more than a religious encounter. It's a God encounter, and a God encounter is life changing. I know what God did in those days and continues has continued over many years. Continues today as I'm here, and I believe young people are looking for you know, is there a God? If there is a God, is He for real? You know, does He care? Yep. Does He love me? Does He have anything to say to this messed up world? Does He have anything to say to our broken homes, our divorced families, to our sick families? You know, what does God have to say to us? And so I'm thrilled to know you and to know that God's put this call in your life. All right, so there were people that accepted the Lord this past Friday. Wow.
Yep. There was a few hundred people that accepted the Lord, and
that's awesome.
Jesus is on fire for the Lord. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
So, what was done to direct these people into discipleship and to get them connected?
Definitely. Yep. So we have them all on the email list, and they sign some papers to all get connected and together. So we're plugging them into local churches around the area, and men's and women's groups, and we have a few rehab centers and people that came also. That was a you know, a powerful, you know, now they can share the light inside their rehab centers and whatnot. It's going to be really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. And we had a pastor from the local area come and speak. And then Danny Gilkey that night also gave an altar call and spoke. And, man, it was powerful. So now we're just, you know, pushing. Now we're doing the next one with the worship nights and, you know, other events that we're just saying, okay, hey, let's bring this, you know, revival to this community and to this area.
Awesome. Now was that live streamed? Is it on YouTube? Is it out there anywhere? Can anybody go and see this?
If they go to the Instagram and Facebook page, Good Days Only Festival, they will see, you know, pictures and videos from the event. And it wasn't live streamed, but there's tons of, you know, stuff on there for people to see.
Okay. So. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you and Jolly some more real soon. And we're going to continue to lift you all up in prayer and all the young people that have a heart to reach out and see your generation brought into the kingdom of God. And I really believe it's time. You know, that's a big part of the vision on my heart is to find young people that are wanting to run with the gospel, wanting to run the race and have a heart that's sold out. So God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Anything else you want to say before we move on with our program today?
Oh, man, just for everybody to keep running after Jesus and just know the true Jesus, you know, the real, authentic, the miracle-working God. And he still does miracles. He still is a way maker. You know, he's still moving through stuff. So just always trust in him and, you know, love him and stay close.
Amen. Would you just lead us in a moment of prayer for the youth in our generation, in our state, for that revival?
Yeah, that's it. Dear God, we come before you right now. Lord, we just pray for every listener listening right now, the young, the old, the different demographics, Lord, whatever may be on here right now. God, we just ask for strength, peace as we go through this life together, as we lift your name. And God, I just pray over the young generation right now that anyone listening just comes to know you even deeper to new levels, and they just learn to find their first love back with Jesus, and a new fire burning within everyone listening right now. Ignite the fire to run after you, to do events, to bring people together, to do house groups, home groups, whatever it may be, just to lift the name of Jesus and get the broken and the lost to know you. So, Lord, we just ask right now, if anyone's even listening, that are lost, that they come to know you. And, Lord, we just magnify your name across the airwaves, and we just lift your name. And we ask for new and greater, you know, levels, new depths, and just to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Listen, we love you guys. Love what you're doing. Love your heart.
Amen.
And love to hear the testimonies of what God's doing. And thank you for joining us. We're going to be back in touch soon.
Awesome.
God Sounds bless. Good, guys. Take care. Bye.
Wow.
Next song is My People Who Are Called By My Name Will Humble Themselves and Pray. We're going to be right back in just a moment, and we're going to continue. This is Wednesday Live. Thank you for joining us today. Keep your dial set right here at 89.9.
If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If they seek my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If they see my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. My eyes shall be open, and my ears will attend prayers that are spoken from the hearts of humble men. I have chosen and blessed you that my name may be yours. I've set my heart upon you, and my love will always endure. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If they see my face and turn from their sins, I will heal, I will forgive, I will heal.
All right, and that is the prayer on all of our hearts, I know, here at WCNO, and I believe it's on your heart, too, that the people of God will actually function as the body of Christ, and that from our hearts there will be that prayer lifted up to God, and that we will humble ourselves and repent and turn. You know, if the church just has revival, it will usher in the great awakening, I'm confident, in our nation that we desperately need. Karen, you just had a little bit of a vision a few moments ago, and we may get to that before we finish this morning. But I want to welcome Dr. Bree Keaton with us this morning. Dr. Keaton, are you able to hear us?
Oh, yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay, we have some kind of noise in the background. I don't know if what that is. I hear a little bit of a reverb, or maybe it's an echo or something that is there. I don't know if we can clean that up, or maybe I need to call back.
Okay, hold it. Let me try to do something.
Okay, all
okay,
right.
Okay, is that better?
That's much better. That's much better. All okay. Right, Dr. Keaton, I know you as a lady who has a passion and a heart to love and to minister to pygmies. Tell us what God's put on your heart this morning.
Well, the pygmies are the most hated and persecuted people on the planet. There's a lot of reasons for that, but they're very small and different, and a lot of them are naked and they live in trees. So obviously people don't know a lot about them, but I feel that God sent me there, and he spoke to me in an audible voice to go rescue pygmies. So I've really been there 15 years now, and I've rescued way over 80,000 of them from certain death, because the jihadist rebels and even the regular Afghans just kill and eat them as if they were food. And so it's been a long road trying to rescue them in the deep jungles in the midst of a war. There are over 150 armies in there fighting. It's one of the most dangerous places on the planet. But you know what? When God sends you, when God is for you, what can stop the will of God?
Nothing.
See, so if all of us would set our hearts to do God's will, you don't have to go to the most dangerous jungle on the planet. You don't have to even do more than go across the street to that snotty neighbor nobody likes. And just tell them about how much you love them and how much Jesus loves them. It's just that the call of God is on us all. He said to everybody, last words, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So most people think of pygmies as animals instead of human beings. So this I carry just to the end, you know. But what is the driving thing? I wanted to read something out of Hebrew here, if I can, okay. I can find it. I just couldn't find my glasses there for a minute. Okay, I wanted to look at Hebrews 13 as God is moving me to say this. The glory of God is something that I've been exploring for a number of years, and I've come up with 37 different separate things the glory of God is, and I'm sure that over time I'll have more. But remember this, it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So God is just acknowledging us to go after people that nobody else likes. Pastor, how do you feel about the unlovely, the un, lovable people nobody else likes very much.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up with those kind of people around our table. That was what I grew up with. My father couldn't pass people on the street. Dad constantly said, but for the grace of God, there go I. And thinking of my son being down on a mission trip and seeing the kids, you know, the young kids, you know, they were not clothed. And some of them had the big bellies and all. And my son was maybe 5 years old at that time. And I asked him, why would God bless us with so much? And why would they have so little? And my son just said it perfect. He said, Dad, so we could come down here and make a difference and bring him Jesus.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
Wow.
That's how I think about it.
That's it. You just nailed it. I don't know. It's like people in America really have no idea unless they've been to the heart of the mission field where the most destitute people are, and Africa's just covered with that, even South America in places.
This was just in Dominican Republic. We were in a garbage dump city, and you know, people flee from Haiti and such forth to come over there, but we were just in a place, and actually, as you said, go across the street, almost every city of any size actually has kids that are struggling and maybe even starving, not because there isn't food in our nation, but because it isn't getting to them. Yeah.
Exactly. So what do? We live our lives with an open hand. We stretch our hand to the poor as Jesus did. And miracles, you know, if only you'll believe, God will just make miracles in Africa. We'll make a pot of food, big kettles, you know. We'll make food, and it's not enough for everybody. But you know what? We just keep dipping, and God keeps multiplying.
I've never seen
people go hungry when we were trying to feed people. God will multiply that food.
It's awesome.
So why won't he do it here? You see, we just keep dipping. Come on, what are we dipping in? We're dipping in to the presence, the glory of God. Oh, and in the glory, there's no lack. There's no sickness. There's no debt. There's no grieving. When we get into the glory of God, and that's what I want to talk about the Sunday I'm there. What is that, a couple of weeks away? That on the 10th I'll be at your church, Abundant
yes.
Life.
You're going to be in on the Treasure Coast here on the 10th of March, coming right up. That's just a couple of weeks out.
Well, you start at 10 o'clock, right?
9:30. 9:30 in the morning.
9:30. Mm-hmm. 9:30. It's important to know that, because that's the day we jump, we leap forward.
Yeah, that's right. The clock changes. So, and Dr. Keaton, every time you've been with us, you have brought fresh bread and fresh oil.
Well, and this will be no different. Are you there?
I'm here.
I thought I lost you for a second.
No.
No, there's a fresh thing God has put in my heart, and I'm going to just release it. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to perform it. I'm not going to do. I'm going to release it.
Amen.
Over the Treasure Coast where you are.
Well, praise God. So, you know, we have listeners today that are just kind of connecting, and maybe they've never heard, or maybe they don't know of anyone that God has just called to have a passionate heart to make a difference in the life of pygmies. And, you know, that's something inside of me. This goes back maybe a year ago. Prior to your coming, I was in prayer because we'd talked, and we were talking about dates, and I'm like, you know, Father, are we to open up a morning service for Dr. Keaton? And the Holy Spirit so clearly spoke to me and asked a question: who else do you know that has a passion for pygmies? And then,
oh, wow.
I mean, that's just what God asked me. And I said, no one. And then the Father said, I love the pygmies and I care about the pygmies, and you need to support this lady who has my heart for the pygmies. And that was like a real clear word to me. And I think a lot of our listeners, they maybe have never heard anyone that has been there and repeatedly and ministered. So how could people get a hold of you. Maybe there are some churches, pastors, board members. Maybe there are some mission organizations. Maybe there are some home group Bible studies that are thinking today, we would love to reach beyond our normal fishing grounds and sow some seed and be a part, or at least learn more. How can people get a hold of you?
Oh, the best way is through my website, which is worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com, and two P's in worshiping. So that's worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. And they can give on there. They can discover. There's movies. There's slideshows. There's, you know, bios. There's everything on there. So they can familiarize themselves with what we do. And I've just recently uploaded three new movies of the Pygmies. In the ones that I've had to evacuate from the jihadist war zone, there's a huge surge of jihadists in the East Congo. And the whole world is becoming aware of this mess now, because they're in there for the stuff, and they're in there to steal it and take the land from the Congolese people. But the Pygmies are right there. I have 20 villages altogether, but seven of them are in that region. And they started murdering the Pygmies, so I had to evac them in the middle of the night. 2,000 were slaughtered as we got them out gradually over a couple of months in the night, trying to sneak them out. But the rebels would find out and start killing up from the rear. So, but we did get 10,000 of them out, and we've been hiding them. So now some of the rebels have found them and are killing them in the night. So we've got to move them again. But how? So we really need help with the feeding. We got to feed those Pygmies because they're hiding under tarps, and then we've got to move them again. So all this is very desperate situation. Anybody that wants to pray for those Pygmies and help me to save their precious lives. And there's another cool thing I should just say while we're on the air. I have a friend that has been to heaven, and he's been there several times. God just calls him up, and God tells him things that he wants him to come back and say. And the last time that happened was about a year ago or so. And he said that when he arrived in the throne room of God, he said pygmies, a bunch of pygmies ran to him, and they somehow knew that he was a friend of mine. And they were so happy. And they said, oh, you tell Bree, thank you for giving us Jesus, because now we're here.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's beautiful.
So, you know, when all of us, when we go on to heaven, there'll be pygmies there.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll get to see how wonderful they are. People don't know that they're just wonderful.
That's awesome.
But Africans just hate them, so... You know, I'm very drawn, I don't know about you, but I've always been drawn to the underdog, you know, or the least of these, or the ones nobody else likes. Those are the ones I want to embrace and help and love and make my friends.
Amen. Know? That truly was the Father's heart, was it not?
It was.
You know, the decision of the Godhead was, you know, God the Father so loved that he gave, and so Jesus became flesh like us. He didn't come in royalty. He came in skin with nothing that would cause us to look at him as we would look at a movie star, someone with great accomplishments or great beauty in the flesh. He came with the heart of God the Father to love. Well, Bree, we are almost out of time. I would like you just to take a moment and lift up a prayer for these that God has called you to reach, and we will come into agreement with you. And again, Dr. Bree Keaton, a missionary with a call of God to the Pygmies, is going to be right here in the Treasure Coast on the 10th of March. And there may be some other meetings, and perhaps we'll be able to promote those. I just got my flyer from you in the mail, so we'll be looking at that. But Dr. Keaton, would you lead us kind of in a closing prayer?
Well, Father God, I just bless and thank you for
Father.
All the provision that you've made for us here.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, let us live our lives with a hand open to the least. to the poor, to the downtrodden, to the crushed by life, to those who have no hope apart from the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've presented to us now today to say, yes, Lord, we'll join the army of the Lord. And Father, we lay down our hearts now before the throne of God and we say, Lord, what is your will? I just want everyone listening to say, Lord, what is your will for my life?
Amen.
What is would your you will have for my me life? Do? Amen. Lord, here are my hands, here are my feet, here is my heart. Amen. Guide and direct my path and open doors to me that no man can shut. And Lord, I set myself in agreement with heaven right now.
Amen.
And let me live from this day forward for what is written in heaven about me.
Amen.
And let me live my life.
Thank you, Lord.
To be a pleasing in your eyes, Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, Father, that you let your son die for me, and I accept him as my Savior and my Lord, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name, amen. One more time, give out that website so people can go and find out more and learn how to be a part.
Okay, it's worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. Two P's in worshiping, worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. And you can find out a whole lot more about the mission we do and the other things we do around in America, too. All right. So,
amen.
How about those Chiefs, huh?
God bless. How about those Chiefs? I'm sure we're going to hear about
them.
Amen.
They are my Chiefs. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on the 10th. Blessings. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We do want to see revival, don't we? That is our heart, and we are praying for that. David, we talked a little bit about Karen's program. It's on Fridays, and it's Hidden Places. What's happening with Frontline just before we close today?
Well, Frontline is really, it's well received. We get contact every now and then from people, but I gotta mention, because some people listening to Frontline are also listening today.
Sure.
Ann Limpoho was our guest, or Ann Limhoko, I'm messing that up, and was well received. The interview
this week, Monday this week,
so much so, and the Lord had put it on my heart. It was like I did not expect to say this, but suddenly the Spirit said, you mentioned to people to pray for Ann to have a program on WCNO, because she's really articulate, 24-karat believer, just loves Jesus, and has a lot to say. And I mean, she has a degree in public policy and government, and has served over 20 years with a legislator in Illinois. Her being a believer in Christ, serving with a liberal progressive, you know, and surviving in that environment, yeah, bringing people to Christ. So, but she's been sent here. She has a voice. She has something to offer. And we're going to be in dialogue with her.
We've had a lot of response.
Had a lot of response from the people pledging money to pay for whatever, you know, programming.
And we're praying about that.
We're praying.